Hey guys, it's Casual Friday. That means it's me and Nancy Matt's Friday. And our topic today is how we manipulate our life force in our everyday life. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Good evening, everybody. Happy Friday. Good to see you all. Are you having a great day? I heard that. Well, I'm glad. It is Friday, and it's sunny outside. For some of you guys, we're right in the middle of winter. You guys on the other side of the world, like New Zealand, right? But it's hot here. Today was 93. It's going to go up even higher. But then it's going to cool down a couple days next week. So I can go work in my yard again. But it is hot, I'll tell you for sure. I was out driving a little while ago. My car, no air conditioning, dying a heat stroke driving my car to do a must-run trip. Anyway, my name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team, based out of Sacramento, California. We're 45 strong up and down the state. So that means if you have a paranormal problem, or you think you do, we can help you out. It might take us a couple days to get to you. California is this big state. But we can get to you. And in the case that we can't get out there right away, we do have psychics on staff who can phone you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on. And in most cases, they can calm the energy down until we get out there. Okay. That being said, if you're watching from Facebook, and a lot of you are tonight, please feel free to hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. And feel free to chat in the chat room and show me some love. Give me a thumbs up and stuff to show me some love. Same thing for YouTube. You know, there's over 1,000 videos over there. All of this show, it varies. I'm a journalist. I do other types of gig work, and I don't like being on the same topics all the time, so I will vary the topics. Like, what was it, Wednesday night, we talked about the CIA and the Mafia, you know, different types of topics. If that kind of thing interests you, check it out. We've got, like I said, 1,000 videos sitting over there, and please, if you haven't subscribed already, please do so, and chat in the chat room amongst yourselves. Again, you know, TikTok, all these other places work the same way. Give us some likes, give us stuff like this. Because it puts this up higher on the FYP page, which means For You page. Which means what they do is that distributes it to, like, everybody out there for their particular page to see if they like it, right? And that's the key here, to share, so more people get to see the show. That's the whole key behind this. So if you're at home, and I just dropped off like Mario, it's going to be one of those kinds of internet days. So if you're home today and you've got people in the house that are hanging out, or maybe you're out by a lake somewhere or something like that, and you think, hey, there's this little show out there that I like. Come on over, listen to it. That's how we do it, is word of mouth. That's how we've done it all this time. All right. I'm going to bring Nancy in, and we have to talk about, before we even get started, we have to talk about something that's going on over on Facebook. And then we'll get on with the show. Okay, I just want to give you guys a heads up on it, and we're going to bring Nancy in as well. So here we go.
Good evening, everybody. Hello.
So before we get started, let's talk about Facebook and what's going on with Facebook and what happened this week. You guys probably noticed that, what was it, Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. I hit the panic button.
I remember.
I got a notice on StreamYard. StreamYard is the one who handles all of our video stuff. They're the ones that are able to distribute it to Facebook, you know, as I go out live. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, wherever I decide to go out live for that day. Mm-hmm. And I go into StreamYard, and I find out that I can no longer stream to certain pages on Facebook Live. So, I'm trying to figure that out right now. I'm still going to my profile page, which is what you guys are watching on tonight. But it was weird because when I went to go Wednesday to set up another show, it wouldn't let me put Facebook in at all. So I guess they were making changes to whatever they're doing over here at StreamYard too. But the thing is, what I'm trying to warn you guys about is, I don't know if I'll be able to be on Facebook to do the show. And I won't know till Sunday, really, till I start setting up the stuff for next week. I think I'll be okay, because I think that this whole change is only for group pages, and I don't do this live to a group page. I do this to my profile. So I don't know. So that's what I mean by finding out my Sunday. Yeah?
You're cutting out.
Okay. You know, finding out by Sunday what's going on. But if it is that case where I can't come out on Facebook to you guys, what will happen is that I'm going to ask you guys to kind of migrate over to YouTube. You can either do that to watch the live shows, or what I'll do is I'll do the same thing I do with my RSS feed. I'll do the live show, and then I'll upload it over to Facebook. So you guys will see it an hour later. But that's my plan B on all this. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. But so far, it looks like I'm continuing to be on the air on my profile page. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay.
It's very confusing because most of you know I've been with her a year and a half, and I'll be starting mine pretty soon. And she'll call up and, oh, my God. And I go, okay, let's think it through. And I give a couple ideas. She got a couple ideas from somewhere else. But you can appreciate how hard she's worked. And all of a sudden, she's cut off from doing it. And I'm going, I told her one point, I went, does the universe really want me to do it? Because you're scaring the dickens out of me.
It's like you saw, you know, I have the smaller pages, you know, for California Haunts Radio. Mm-hmm. There's 500 followers over there. I've got my regular page, my personal page at 1,500 followers there. There's another 1,100 followers on another California Haunts page. And that's what got me is that, well, I'm not going to have to skirt all that, lose all my followers after you know, working so hard to build them up. But I don't think so. I think I figured it out, and I think I'll be okay. But we'll see Sunday. So the way to tell us Sunday.
She'll let me know. So I'm getting to where I can catch up. I had a lot of things interrupt my flow this year. So I do have allergies. I've had almost like a head cold. It was terrible this week. So Char and I were, she was outside in the weeds and I was just breathing in a minute. And we're covered. We have weeds all around our property here. This is a topic that
makes you tired and everything else. Been there, done that.
Kind of makes you wonder if I even asked my husband, I said, do I have a head cold or is this allergies? I mean, I couldn't tell the difference. Yeah. But two swollen eyes.
Oh, is it Thursday? Wednesday. I had all that trouble. Yeah, that's what I felt like I had a head cold. It scared me at first.
Yeah, it's a wind. So tonight's topic is, during the shows, I'll bring up ideas of our life force. And tonight I'm going to be talking about another aspect of it. I'm trying to do it in an hour. I think most of you like an hour show. If I run over, if it looks like I'm only halfway through, we'll make it part two. When I first got into this, I spoke to being part of the Spirit of Grace, Universal Christ of the Master, Spirit of Grace, Citrus Heights, California, and got my ministry in there, February 92, la, la, la. But I was giving a lot of readings in the evenings. And when I started doing readings in my home, it was only a month later because everybody went, oh my gosh, you know, it was scary, but satisfying. And while I was doing the readings, I started figuring out, and I told you at different shows, for those of you who've never heard of me before, we manipulate our life force to join and enter time. So I knew I would join with somebody and it'd be around the shoulders. I knew that time was accessible through our air pipe, and when we breathe in, going to our lungs. I dropped down about 2 inches, and I can actually feel the slip and slide of going back and then going forward. It's tougher going forward. It's like entering time that's not been used is like thick jello. Going back, it's used and it slips and slides. It's like a piece of glass with water on it. You got roller skates. And a lot of people ask me about the past, you know, why not? And then future is mostly what people want from me. And when I realized what was happening, if you get into doing readings, and I hope I'm teaching those of you who want to do this in the future, I'm at an age where maybe 10 more years, I'll be mid 80s by then, but I love doing this. I love helping people. I'm getting really interested in past lives where I witness what you do with you, which is another enter the space in the bottom of your neck and enter and flow with you in time. Well, what happens is it's my life force I'm using. So when I first started out, and Char will tell you, other people who are beginners, oh, they'll talk for an hour, 2 hours, and then they're totally exhausted. That's because you have to learn to control your breath and your life force and don't use it when you don't have to. So people call up and think, oh, she's just going to answer the phone. I'm going to ask her two or three questions and go on. They don't realize unless it's a volunteer and I don't mind. I'm always, it tires me out. And when I was younger, I had to build up the momentum. I'm a long distance runner, I was, not the last few years, but you start out wanting to run a marathon, you're not going to do first time out 10 miles. You're going to start out half a mile, then an hour. You have to build up your momentum, but also your reserve of energy, because you learn how to run. So you have to learn the dynamics of your body and your muscle masses working without overdoing it. I could run 10 miles before I started taking my breath. And people say, Nancy, and I go, well, it's just something you learn to do. And afternoon runs would be 16 to 20 miles. I mean, like, duh, what's wrong with you, Nancy? I loved it. And my body was in motion and could handle the drama of the run. And I wasn't using a lot of energy because I've learned to control it. I know it's crazy, but that's what runners would tell you. And so it aligns with the same as doing your readings. You have to manipulate your life force and join somebody without using you up. And we get, and I'll repeat this, we use electricity, and muscle masses create our electricity stronger because we have electricity in our body, but it's never, it's like most of you have had events or something you've done, and you come back, wow, I'm really tired. I shopped the mall, and you get exhausted bumping into people, or you go to the track and you watch off-road vehicles and it's screaming, yelling, and it's fun. You get home and you go, wow, I'm exhausted. Well, you use your energy up getting excited. You get a movie and it's drama and sad, and the main character dies, like Magnolia something or other with Sally Fields. I never watch it, but everybody says, don't go, Nancy, you'll just cry your eyes out. I don't want to go and get exhausted crying my eyes out. I just don't do that. But all those take your life force. And so you have to learn to what your life was about, and how you use it, how you manipulate it, how you blend with somebody. And so when I was early in the meetings that I did on a Friday night with Spirit of Grace, I was entertaining for 15 years. People would come in, and after a while, I started noticing that people would adjust their shirt, like I was just doing, because I it's crooked. It looks like I don't know how to dress anymore. I just put this on. So anyway, people would adjust their shirt, and they would adjust the jacket, and they button it. And I thought, geez, how funny! I'm talking to somebody, and they're keep adjusting their clothing. And then one time, I saw someone put their hand up to their neck, and then I noticed it again. It's almost like, huh, tick. Something's happening, and people are responding unconsciously to me addressing them. It's not like addressing, meaning I'm speaking to them. And I thought, isn't that something I'm supposed to pay attention to? And it occurred to me after so many times that I'm moving my life force from me to them, to enter time. And how did I figure out where I was going? I have a, when you join the spiritualist group, those who are in the audience are ones who are also intuitive. They may have experiences. They see spirit people, they hear voices, or they know something's going to happen before it does. And so they're there to learn what this is about. And so a lot of them are intuitive. And when I move my life force from me to somebody else, they could feel the pressure of me. So Char can feel spirit kind, and she'll feel a certain way. I used to be that way. Now I feel it kind of like all over, like I bump into energy force. Oh, someone's there. I just move my life force like a big cotton ball. I don't have to wait. It used to be like on the side of my head, also my shoulder. And why? Because other people say, oh, my arms tingle. Okay, that's a spirit person. We all get it a certain way. I think I knew somebody who said their chest fluttered. That wasn't you. I don't think so. But
No.
I just remember things. I don't remember who tells me. Many people, 33 years, everybody, I forget who tells me things at times. And so then I start experimenting. I would consciously do it to somebody, and they would go move their shoulders. Or I keep forgetting this is RSS feed. Hello, everybody on RSS feed around the world. Hello, hello. And Africa too, and all those other countries, China. Anyway, so I would purposely say, I'm going to touch your right shoulder. And I would go there first, and then people would start responding. I go, oh, this is cool. I have figured this out. And then one night I said something about they want to know future or past past. I can't remember. And I realized that I wasn't just around their shoulders. I had dipped into them. And I consciously made an effort of trying to go where the breath went. Your breath. Where did that come from? And it's like I couldn't figure out where time accessed. And so when you see someone dying or you see an orb, where is that in our body? Okay. It's not necessarily in your head. Your head is a mess, everybody. It's got electric firings going on. And where is the orb centered? Well, I think it's centered in our chest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go. Remember the Egyptians, they used to think the brain was just a mess and they'd scrape it all out. But the heart, they said, was the center of our soul. Guess what? I'm going to agree with that. Right? Have you seen, heard of the book Change of Heart? It's about a gal, and she has since passed away from this. She had to transplant. She had other issues. I can't remember what caused her to have a heart issue. And she said the heart that was given to her, if I remember correctly, because there's been many books I've read on this, she all of a sudden acquired a taste for beer and French fries. And she was a health nut. And she said when she found out it was a 17-year-old youth, I hope it's a correct story. I don't want someone to say I make this up because I never make it. I'm not smart enough to make these stories up. They're all, you know, things I've read or clients. And it's been over and over. You could get a body part from somebody, but you may get part of their personality also. But the heart seems to be quite important. And it's the center, not necessarily of time. But anyway, I think it's very important. The center of the soul is in the middle of our chest where we breathe. Now, those who suffer from lung problems or something else, that's irregardless. So I feel like I fall about 2 inches, two, maybe three, if this person's really large, or shorter if this person's really small. And it almost feels like a corridor. Now, the thing is, you need to build up your life force. You need to practice. And I tell people, practice by looking and reading people on TV. Go to the mall. Get a site at Blog Talk Radio and offer free readings. Put a different name on there so that you can practice without people knowing who you are. Without practice, you're never going to get what it takes to be me. And we have to have people replace us. So pure of heart, with the best intention, you'll be fine. My rule is never harm another soul. Always remember that. And don't get so off. It's really important. We're not talking about readings, but since we're here, make sure that you have a steady program and you learn the ins and outs of giving readings. I worked 24 years with Pacific Bell. I went to a lot of meetings. I was in charge of soft sales. I was in charge of union grievances and layoffs and all kinds of stuff that put me in a lot of stress of managing people and how that works. And so I had a lot of practice how to talk to people. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But anyway, take classes. I don't want to cover that tonight. So I was doing these readings. I was doing events every weekend for 15 years. And then I got married and we moved to start a fresh adventure. And that was 07. And everything crashed and burned in 08. So the timing is everything. Just because I'm psychic doesn't mean I know my life. But anyway, so I was doing a psychic fairs all through California. And I went down to Ventura, I believe it was, by the ocean. And it was a smaller building. It looked like maybe it had been a small restaurant at one time. It was empty, and we did a psychic fair in there. It was really fun. Wasn't real busy, but it was fun talking to people. Anyway, I was sitting here, and a lady sat across, and she had a round table. And it wasn't like I was looking at her, but I was in a way I could look at her. And I was very relaxed. I was waiting, you know, like, okay, it's 10 o'clock. Where are the people? Because you go to these events, you don't want to sit and do nothing. And she was, if you hear this, she had dark clothing on, like a shawl. She was a little older than I am. She was thicker. But she was a darling. She had her elbows on the table and she was just talking away. And she was going to talk to this man that sat down. And it wasn't like she was flirting, but, oh, a man is sitting down. She was so excited. And he wanted some information. And I was in a kind of relaxed, not meditated, but kind of relaxed. I was kind of ready. And all of a sudden, out of her back, this big swoof of energy came out of her body. and went over the man's head and into his back. And I went, what the H? What is this? And yes, I see spirit people. A lot of times I'll see them energy first. And then once in a while I'll capture someone and I'll go, who are you? And then they, what did I used to look like? And then they'll try to put their body together. Let me see, what did I wear in the coffin when they went to bury me? Or what did I wear when I got married or something spectacular? And they'll start putting their form together. And sometimes I'll just see them walking around, you know, like I got married at a Catholic high noon mass wedding, right? Catholic. And in the church, it was a shape of a cross. And one aisle against the wall, this dead man was going and mocking us for all that up and down in the chair stuff and on the bench, huh? And I looked at him and he looked at me and I went, ah, here's my wedding day. And I had some guy, anyway, he was fully formed because he thought he was hot. He was a smarty. He looked like about 60 years old as a dead man. But anyway, so when this life force of this woman came out of her body, I thought to myself, that is the first time I have seen it in action. And then you would say, everybody leave out of the back? No. It was that she was clustered in front of her, like she was going to talk to somebody, elbows on the table, her hands are clasped in front of her, underneath her chin, and she was looking at this fella and just beaming. And so the only way out of her body was through her back. But it was a big, big, she was a larger woman, so mass equals amount of energy. I have this one friend, and she is like a feather, like a leaf, just a delicate white feather, and she is so slim, and her voice is so soft. I always wonder what her life force looks like. It's just a little wisp. She's just so sweet. But she's a reader, and she talks like that. Where you get this athletic, stronger woman, me, and I'm nuts and bolts, I just blop. I'm an engineering background, so I don't have flowery talk words in here. But she didn't. She's just a flower. I just love her. I'm not going to tell you who she is because she didn't give me permission. And anyway, so as you are, so is your life force. And we need to learn about it. But there are so many aspects. I was absolutely flabbergasted. I started typing this up. I went crazy. We may end up doing two shows. So it's up to Char how we go about it. So this Southern California event taught me how important it is to pay attention not only to our energy, but that different people look different doing this. I feel like I come out of my shoulders also to go to somebody because she went from her back to the back of the other individual. I think it's probably the way they were sitting, maybe, but it came out very forceful, but in control. We got real busy. I never learned her name. But if you're listening to this tonight, I'd love to hear from you. And you'll know what you had on so you can tell me it's you. Okay. So I feel like I move life force from my chest and my neck area to each client. Now, how do I know that? I can feel it because I paid attention. It doesn't come from my head. Though there are stories how people leave their bodies after death from their head. But the most time I see someone leaving, it's full body right out or from the chest. Mm-hmm. Kind of curious. Okay. So I wanted to say, I had left in this. So I told you about an event Friday night evening, and I have a girlfriend, and she's a larger girl, and she came to the event having indigestion. And I at this point realized that I could control my life force with my hand. So I envisioned moving my life force as a hand, and I reached in and I grabbed her stomach. Yes, it's an ick factor, but I don't think of it that way. I felt like she was in distress, and I just squeezed her stomach, and she belched just as I did that. That tells me a lot. It tells me that we can move our life force to somebody. And I'm going to use a word that you would use, prayer. You put an idea in your mind that you want to help somebody heal. Facebook, a lot of posting of unfortunate little children in the hospital, accidents, whatever. And if you look at that person strong enough, you have a sense of their body, you can give them energy. And you'll hear over time, everybody pray for my child, all of a sudden the child got ready. You betcha that works. Praying, moving your life force to somebody is the same wordage. Not the same as Reiki. Go ahead, Sharp.
As crazy as this sounds, and you know how my mind works.
Well, yes.
As I'm sitting here listening to you, I keep thinking about the people in Hollywood and the research they must do in the, in, into what you do. Because when you think about, and then here we go, okay? Here comes the eye rolling. When you think about Star Wars, especially the last one, the last one.
The Force be with you.
No, whatever it was, when Rey had essentially died. And then Kylo Ren crawls over and puts his life force into her to bring her back.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
That's what I'm saying, is that whoever does the research for those films knows their stuff. Because that's what he did. Yeah.
Yes, and then he died, but he gave her everything of him.
Yes.
I do believe that. I don't think it's imaginary. Yes. We can
roll their eyes back down. Let's go ahead.
What's that?
They can all roll their eyes back down now, back to normal. Okay, go ahead.
So I want to give two examples. Witnessing my child's birth. I didn't get permission to say this, but a child was born and I didn't want the child not to be alive. I shook my hand at the child. And I says, I'm not ready for you not to be here. And on the third shake, the child breathed. And the nurse looked at me and went, I was a grandma. It was my granddaughter. And she came blue. She was born not breathing, and they couldn't get her to have air. And I shook my fist and I says, no, you're come back. And the third time I did that, she took a breath. The nurse looked at me and went, I imagine there was a story around the hospital. Grandma willed that child. Another client of mine, unfortunately, witnessed her son getting hit by a drunk driver. And the damage was the shoulders and the head. The boy laid in the street, and she went, this is a true story. You know, like I said, to make these up would be impossible. And and she's someone I will talk about. She went on her child and the child was not going to live. He was a very large boy, 17. And the damage was to her head. And she could not have him with her. And she said she wheeled him back and thought, don't you dare leave. I need you and lead you. And he started to take a breath. And then she realized that he could not survive. I won't give you details, but there was no way he was going to survive. And she said to him, you have to go. I will miss you, but I'll be okay. And he lay back and he was dead. This has happened. She willed him back. And as much as I want him to have lived, the story of his life is so difficult to even comprehend that he died within her vision. You know, she saw him. I can't even comprehend. When I think of the way my father was killed by a drunk driver, if I had been there, what would I have done? Of course, I was only six, but at the same time, to witness something like that. You know, I've missed him all my life. So anyway, that does happen. We can do that. I don't know about battlefield things going on, comrades in arms, the war, how many times has that happened or couldn't happen because of the drama? I don't know. But in Star Wars, that last... Darth Vader, she goes and confronts Darth Vader, and Darth Vader takes her life. Is that what happened? And then the hero, Adam, something took the role. It was not Darth Vader. It was Darth Vader,
Palpatine.
Number one.
It was Palpatine.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it was Palpatine. It was Palpatine.
He was the original Dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the original bad guy. And then,
she dies, and then.
Adam comes in.
Kylo Ren comes out from that big hole thing that he was in, and he transfers his life force over to her.
And of course, he loves her and gives sacrifices.
We've also seen, you know, along that line, you know, everybody that's watching The Mandalorian, the baby has done that stuff as well.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Who was it?
Baby, Grogu. You know, the little.
Oh,
baby
I'm sorry, I haven't seen.
He's done that stuff as well. Yeah, he's done that stuff
okay.
as well. You know, every time
like
he
comes, I said,
he passes out because he's exhausted. But I'm just saying is that whoever does the research with Star Wars knows what they're talking about.
So even though I squeezed that lady's stomach and
Yeah.
she burped, it's not so much an X factor as much as you were doing this. Kind of like a remote handshake with her. Moving our minds by location, a designated place for someone to validate what is there. I was on another show in the 10, 11, 12, 2011, I think it was. And the gentleman that was running the show, George Lopez, not the comedian, but somebody else, he had a client on, asked me to look at an island just north and west of the tip of Africa. And I wasn't aware that there was military bases there of Americans. And so when he gave me some really good description of where to find it, I did find it, and I described the island and how it was configured. So not low at one end and high at the other end, as though part of the mountain fell off, and it was kind of strange. I was able to describe the building, and I had never really thought about remote viewing, but I've been lucky enough to experience it numerous times. The gentleman who called in to ask, and that's all on tape. Someone wants to listen, go to Block Talk Radio. George Lopez, Port Orange Paranormal, I think it was, look for when I was on. The thing is that I can spend all my time doing that when there's people who need readings, and I'd rather give the readings or past life regression work. Now I'm kind of like really excited about that. Doing remote viewing, if it's not for entertaining somebody, it's not something I would prefer to do. But because we're talking about energy, how is it that I was going to find it? I'm going to tell you there's a point of cheating, meaning if he knows of the island and he puts his mind to the island, I will find his direction. Just because someone says latitude and longitude, there's no tracks that I can see on the planet of a map. Someone would have to know what's there first for me to hitchhike of their life force to go there. But what I can do, they may want to know what's there. Once I'm at the island, I can put my mind inside buildings as long as I know where to go. And I actually did this a couple of times with people about the pyramids. And so someone said he had taken a trip to the pyramids and he went in one, it's been a long time. They don't do these tours like this anymore. And the first thing that hit me was how cool it was inside. And so I was able to tell him what I was experiencing because he'd already been there. So what I did was I intertime went back to his trip. And when he was on his trip, I was able to tell him how it felt. And he knew I wasn't making it up. And I can almost feel it. So you out there who are very psychic who want to do this, I'm envisioning myself inside the pyramid and I'll go back and see if you can feel it. So you enter my time to his time, to the time of the pyramids, and you should be able to see that. It's easy. It's not easy. You gotta remember, I do this every day, but I feel I'm at a place where in the pyramid, and I'm looking up, and it's dark, as though the rock, the sides are dark, but they're cool to me. It's like the rock is a darker color, not the rock, but the stones, and I don't think they're wet. They just look dark to me. And it's cool there. It's a different temperature. Very, very exciting. I'm a cheap tourist. And then he took another trip to Greece, and he's very intuitive himself. And he sat down in an area, and he closed his mind off to the world. He calmed his mind, and he was sitting on the bench. And he said, "What is this place I'm sitting?" It was quite a large area with benches around it. All of a sudden, he heard the commotion of a market, like in the Greek time, like what we call craft fairs. Or we have a market here on Wednesdays, and they have tables and tents up. Imagine around the world they have the same kind of environment. That's what he saw in his mind. And he said to me when he got back home, he said, "I went, I sat at this place, and I says, oh, I can see the ocean to your left arm, overlooking the where you're sitting is higher, and then the ocean's there. So you who are practicing, get into my voice, and you'll see what I'm looking at." So he's sitting on the bench, and I can see branches going around. It's kind of like a big shoe, horseshoe, big U. And so people would go there and exchange foods or buy things or whatever. Also, I could hear a lot of commotion. It was very peaceful, very fun, very relaxed place for people to go. And they would just buy and sell. And I thought to myself, why should I buy a ticket? I'll just ask my friends when they go on the trip to sit down and enjoy the trip and then let me come to a day. And what I tell people, I said, when you take a trip and you think I might enjoy something, remember that day in your mind. I want to remember what this looks like so I can tell Nancy. And then Nancy jumps in and goes without ever having to get into a plane. Crazy. Okay, I want to go to the thing we're talking about, muscle masses and how muscles build up and generate more electricity for us. And that means you have to be potassium levels that have to be good, magnesium levels, all the things that keep our body healthy. You have to be up on that. And so I already told you about a time I visited a friend named Nancy. I think it was Nancy's sister, rather. And she had cancer, and they removed her entire leg, all of it to the And we went to visit, and she had like 40 staples. And I asked, I says, "Well, where's your leg?" And she says, "Oh, they put it in the freezer." I go, "Okay." And that was the end of the conversation. She was wonderfully good mood. She was so happy they took the whole leg, and she won't have to worry about cancer again. And she's still alive. And they wanted to give her a artificial leg, and they tried that. She says, "Oh no." She says, "I'm the fastest three-legged person on the planet." She'd get around her kids like lickety-split. Very fun. About 10 years later, I asked the same lady. I said, "By the way, what happened to your leg?" And she says, "Oh, I didn't miss it. I just told them to get rid of it. She didn't want them to keep it for her when she died and buried it." She says, "I have no idea. I have no association with it." But she did add, and I don't think I told you last thing, she says, "That leg is still there. I just don't use it." She can feel it. So the life force that encompass us, Krillian photography, so many, look it up. I can't spell it. Been a long time since I haven't get thought of the word. And you'll see pictures of people with their handprint and the life force going around it. Well, the scientists went and clipped off some area of a leaf. And yet the energy went and created what had been cut off. Our energy is the same, and you'll hear of people who lose their limb, and it will itch. The limb will itch. The foot will itch, but the leg is not there anymore. Our body, our minds create the energy that was there to continue being there. I haven't talked to enough people to know if that goes away, but for the people I've talked to, they still feel it's there. Now, the other thing that's very curious is if they, now modern day, we're very modern, right? The chip they put in your mind, that the phantom hand that you had is still working in your mind. So they'll put a hand on you, mechanical, like the bionic man. And once your mind attaches and you know your hand is there because you feel it, even though it's missing, once you get used to your brain attaching to that hand, you're moving it. People are moving their hand. It's just fascinating to me. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, I want to keep going. Now I'd like to address the life force recharging. First off, when I had to cut some of this out because Shar said we, you know, they like an hour show. It's tiring after an hour and a half, right? So I want to go on to something that I feel is important. You can deplete to the point of exhaustion, right, Shar?
Yes. I'm good at that.
You hear me? Yes. And here she is in the hot. She says, I just spent 3 hours back mowing the backyard. And I go, yeah, it's 104 out there. Really? And she's tired. And I go, But clearly, you have to drink enough water to help your body charge and make the electricity. You have enough magnesium and enough potassium in there, right? One thing I've learned is there is such a thing as pulling in energy from the universe. And I'm not going to use flowery words like I saw some videos. I think we are intelligent beings. We have intelligent universe. We have intelligent souls. But I think it's a conscious thing that we allow things to happen. And so when you sit to relax, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas here. Sit and relax and almost fall asleep, but not. Then when you kind of say, well, I've sat here 15 minutes, I'll get up, all of a sudden you feel better. It's like a recharge has happened. And you go, well, let me see, what did I do different? There is such a thing as the sponge effect. that when you relax, and I meant really relax, get a comfortable place, you will pull in electricity from the environment, just like a spirit will. And they're in the room and you go, wow, cold spot. How about that? Well, spirit wants to be known, especially in poltergeist activity. They will take the energy from you or anything else in the room to be able to blast something across the room. Okay. You're doing the same thing when you sit really quiet and you're sitting there and you're going, geez, I need to relax. I need to kind of build up my life force again. I'm just going to relax. It's not like the muscles have worked hard, but there is such a thing as the energy from the Big Bang. It is continual. Can you believe that 14 billion, not 14 billion, is it 14 billion years our universe? Something. I don't know, but the energy of the original Big Bang is still hitting our planet. The energy from the sun is hitting our planet. That force is electric. And even though I told you one time that the energy of a spirit is different than the energy of a human being, the human being has a heart. And to me, when I read somebody, it pulses, boom, boom. The soul is kind of like a small washboard, like that, without the beat of the heart in there. So when I wrap myself around somebody, it almost pulses like that. Remember, I've done this. I've been doing readings for 33 years. You better know I know something. And so this is how I can tell the difference between a human being's life force when I'm remote viewing for a Char or somebody else versus the spirit person, because the energy feels different. Of course, if the spirit is floating against the ceiling or floating in the hallway, of course, it's different. Right? If I see them, I'm going to tell Char, oh, they look like this. But in some ways, we unconsciously pull from the universe. How many have gone to do a garden to work, and you just stand there a minute, you're barefoot, and your feet kind of gets into the dirt, and the sun's coming on you. And you get called into that, all of a sudden you went, wow, I feel great. It's not like you worked hard, it's not that you relaxed to a level of pulling light from the sun, which has electrical forces. You pull them from the Big Bang electrical force. It's not a lot, but it's enough to get you recharged. There's something to be said about that. There's a couple things. Reiki, there's such a thing. When I was with the Spirit of Grace church, there are people there who are learning and giving Reiki. When I was had my hands on somebody and I was trying to give them energy, I didn't know as much as I do now. And I thought it was me giving them energy. So people have readings by me and they're sitting relaxed and I'm talking to them and I'm putting my life force to them to join with them. And after reading 9 out of 10 people, oh, I just feel so much better talking to you. And I think to myself, well, you just got a cup and a half of me. You better feel better besides the advice I gave you, right? So we give away. But there's something to be said. Remember I said if you sit real still, you're not aware that you're taking in the invisible electrical charges from the Big Bang and the sun and all the things that are around there. I mean, you take in electric from light. You remember that hum you don't like in the fluorescent bulbs? Well, bulbs, everything has electrical charge and you can sit and get a straw and just suck it around you. Yeah, don't laugh, right? In Reiki, you are the conduit for someone who's too tired or weak or damaged to do it. So if you relax, and it's been 30 years since I learned Reiki. I didn't get back into it. It's not what I do. I do the readings, past life regression work, all that kind of thing. So if I remember right, and of course you could always correct me, what you do is you allow the electrical forces of the universe to touch your body and you envision it going through your body, through your hands to the individual. It works. Do not think it doesn't. I have seen people who are just desperate for healing of the body and actually feel much better. I remember Reverend Ken and Ollie Keck. He has since passed away. I think she's still around. And they were not athletic people. And all they did was they closed their eyes and that force would come right to them, right to the person. And people, once it started, the person would say, oh my God, I feel electric going all through me. Well, it wasn't them. It was their intent of having to go through them. And I do believe that works. We have in our life force around us what we call chi, C-H-I. And a lot of people have different words for the force be with you. I love that. The force is with you. I have not felt 100%. Listen to my voice is going now. But when I'm feeling good, people say, wow, your force is huge. I give talks. Remember I said I was an athlete. And because I was so used to generating a lot of energy, when I gave a lecture or do a group readings, I got very excited. It's like, wow, new people to talk to. Oh, wow, wow. Or if I was going to give a talk on what I do like this, this is very exciting to share what I have. Get it out of my head, put it on film so you people can benefit from it. The life force builds up. So being happy, being positive, have a direct sense of what you're doing also helps you be more efficient at anything you do. Now, we're all going to be in good space. Absolutely not. But with purpose, you're doing something, and this is your job. This is my job. I am productive. I'm helping a fellow in the street cutting trees or doing the yard work just because it's going on out there. I live in a subdivision. Something's always getting mowed. If you like who you are and you like what you're doing and you're productive and you're helping and getting paid for it, yes, work is work. But you're alive and you are working, you have to have a positive attitude. There's so much unfortunate things going on around the world and wars that we need to be more grateful. And it's very difficult to do that day in and day out, especially with the news on like it is. I don't like seeing people hurt. In fact, I'm a grandma and I went to the store today and a young couple came in. And I heard this little 8 month old, 7 or 8 month old, little chirp. And I go, oh, grandma radar just went up. You better believe I had my life force reach out and find that child. The man turned around and here's this little guy going, oh, blah, blah, blah. I just loved it. So we're always touching somebody with our life force. Why not give them some? If you're doing a reading, you will. Or if you want to channel the energy of life force to somebody, by a word called Reiki. It's amazing. And it's the same as prayer. You may not have someone around you. You could put someone who's laying on a table, heal them by carefully touching some part of their body that's damaged. Okay, women on women, kind of thing. Make it out. So quantum touch is another word for doing. Praying, Reiki. Moving your life force has helped somebody else or direct channeling from the universe. If you use yourself up, you will know it. Channeling and understanding how the universe works and it goes right through you, absolutely. I remember doing Reiki work and never being tired when I got done, yet people could feel what was going on. So it's a way, it's a mindset. It's not imagination. When people feel better where they can walk better, really? How does that work? I don't know everything. I just know that when I used to do it, help people, I would relax and allow the universe to work through me. And I never got tired. Frequencies. To get to where I was talking about, it's not like you lower your frequency. You just calm it down. Meaning, there's two different ways. If you're jumping around watching a horror movie, what's your frequency? Your heart's 110 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Your frequency is going to be off. When you're not well, your frequency is fighting, trying to be better. So your heart rate's going to be up, your blood pressure's going to be up. So when we relax, I went to the doctor. I had Graves' disease, so I'm taking little, very smallest doses of blood pressure. And so I get wound up going to doctors, not from what you think. I'm getting wound up because everybody who's sick go there. I don't want to be in the place, but you have to go to get the blood pressure, right? And I was all kind of wound up, and the doc comes in, and blood pressure's high, and I says, would you, just a minute. And I sat down. There's another one of those, wow. And I say things like I'm grateful, and I'm happy. And I am happy because Shar and I and the other people I talked to, where's that Blarney Stone? I got to kiss it again. Like, I'm very grateful. And when she did blood pressure again, she goes, oh my God, what did you do? And I says, I just relaxed. I calmed down. I didn't focus, but I calmed down and I relaxed my body, my chest. I just went like this. And she says, I can't believe it. You know, this whole 10 points or more. It was amazing. But we do have control. And it didn't take me but 30 seconds. No, people can do this. Go ahead, Char.
And I can tell a story about as well. Initially, back in the day, before I was old, and they diagnosed my back problem, they gave
Wait
me...
Wait a minute. Careful.
They gave me injections in my lower back. And I was sitting on this table, and normally they said, well, we're going to go through your spine and give you these injections and this. Do you want something to kill the pain? And I was so confident in my abilities back then. I was just starting out doing this stuff, but I was so confident in my abilities, I did not take anything for the pain. And what I was able to do was I took the colors of the rainbow, started red, and brought myself down all the way to that, you know, blue, and then finally the white zone. Didn't feel a thing.
A gentleman who's since passed, I met him early in the 1990s. In fact, we, topic for another show, past life regression wounds, a past life readings without regression. And I would, and I did this in the theater in the round at the Holiday Inn in Madison in 80, where all I did was address the audience, looked into the past of how they died, explaining the injuries for this, of this lifetime also. And so Dick, his name, we did it for a while. It was an economy. It just wasn't something everybody wanted from me, but we did try. It was kind of fun. But anyway, he was able to control this and all his dental work. He never took Novocaine. Really? That's more than what I'm able to do. I don't want drugs, honey. I don't need a lot, but I'm not going to have someone mess with my teeth. I've had a lot of dental work.
Knock me out. Knock me out.
The thing about your teeth, it's so close to your ears, and it's so noisy. It's like, I'm pretty tough. I can have injections anywhere on the body, and I goes, oh, what the fudge, you know. And people amaze that I don't quench, move about or get scared. Anyway, what did this? But he was able to have this dental work done. I was quite amazed by that. Healing and meditation. We were just talking about, if you get a meditative state and do Reiki, meditative state means calm your frequency and your life force down. And it's not so much a strong focus thing, cats, as much as you stop thinking about stuff. You don't, you empty your mind and you just allow, and I need to add this, and I'm closing my eyes because I can feel doing this. So someone click into me, you'll feel it with me. Is I remember doing this and being in a state of grace. I would calm my body. And the only thing I would focus on, I use that, I calm myself down. And I would feel holy, like this is a gift that I can give this person. I'm allowing the universe life force to run through me, and they would respond without realizing what I'm thinking. I used to think, oh, this is a placebo. This isn't real. Well, what I do for a living isn't real. How can I possibly, what I do, I had one young man, I was doing a past life regression and there's something I can do. I know. Cats. He says, oh my God, you're so odd. Did you help me drop down? I said, well, it's something I can do. He says, oh my God, you just went.
You know, it's done right, because I teach meditation. I teach meditation. If it's done right, it'll feel so good. In fact, the only thing I can compare it to, and I've done this where I've done my whole body, is when you take a muscle relaxer. Mm-hmm. If anybody's ever taken a muscle relaxer.
Oh, I don't take them.
You could feel, it's like you could feel starting at your toes. And everything starts to feel like rubber. as it goes up, because it relaxes all those muscles. And when you meditate, you can do the same thing. In fact, there's meditations that are just like that. You start at your feet. And then you think and work your way up. And it feels the same way as the muscle relaxing does.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't take, very rarely take drugs.
Excuse me.
I have cancer and then Graves' disease, all that. I took some and I never felt myself. So I try to stay away from little blood pressure.
Yeah, muscle relaxants are crazy. You can actually feel everything go, you know, as it starts to gel up.
Yeah. I like how you do that. when I, this young man, Mr. J, if you're listening and watching, I just think he's darling. He's a sweet man and he's very intelligent. A young man, you know, everybody's young, kind of like my grandson's ages. And I find a lot of promise in him, and he wanted to know someone's past. And what I do is I put my mind to somebody when I'm doing a regression, because then I can see what they're seeing. And I have a way of going like this to them. And I could feel him going down. And I went, this is good. And I've done that several times. But most of the time, I'm more concerned with somebody who's never experienced it before. And then I'll help them. But I had done this before to somebody else. So, Mr. J, I'm talking about you. You're just a sweet guy. And he's got so much promise. I just can't wait to see what he does. The other fellow that I did this initially was 93 or 94, and he is a very big name in this industry. And off the air, I can tell Char, and she can, if you're really willing to know, but Dr. B, I did it with him when he had encounters with UFOs and being abducted. And it was the first time that I had encountered that. And again, I'm just kind of like, I don't believe anything unless it happens to me, but experience it through somebody else. Whoa. Mm-hmm. So I dropped him down so he wouldn't panic, because he was getting to a place, and all I did was put my life force in him, and I went right through him. It's kind of like you drop him down a little bit more. And so the life force. I'm sorry?
Michelle made it funny. That's pretty funny, Michelle.
Okay. So I want to address now magnetic healings by wearing magnets and bracelets. Yes. This was very popular 20 years ago, but there is something to it. I have a lot of injuries when we're doing running and horseback riding, moving, and I can feel the difference by putting a magnetic bracelet on. I have a lot of them still, but there was a time very popular to get magnetic beads that you could just put around your neck, and they all kind of click together because there's magnets in it. And if I put them on my wrist, either side, I can actually feel a charge. So magnets, remember, are part of the earth. And if you do your history, you watch the shows, space and NASA and history, they talk about our planet having a high degree of minerals. And theory now is, as at Anunnaki, that they came to the earth to get the gold and other products out of our core. And what happened, they believe, is a planet crashed into ours. And the top of our planet, on the debris, created the moon. So we have double amount, and that's why our electric, the core, is so magnetized and keeps our atmosphere and keeps us moving. We won't lose it like Mars did. It's because we have a higher than normal magnetic sense of the planet in this orbit. That's the theory now. And I'm going to say I do believe that. I don't know what the moon is made of, but it's not like it's debris from us, from our Earth. And I believe those aliens are here to collect.
You bring up the magnets, and there is healing being done as we speak. Where healers will use magnets, even chiropractors.
Yeah, well, the golfers really believe in that. It came out, I married a golfer, and Tiger Woods wore the bracelets. I don't know if they still do. It's something I don't, but I do remember that, and I even have mine still. So anyway, I do believe, and a lot of people believe in the powers of the crystals. And I cannot address that. I don't study it. I don't use them. I like them. But there's something to be said about magnets and that stuff. So why not? You know, who am I to say it doesn't work? What do I know? I don't work with them every day.
Right.
But when I was using magnets, and I just recently got them out, and when I put it on, I kind of got whoops. And it wasn't like I was waiting, not placebo. It was just noticeable. On one arm, it was a higher level of tingling, of a zap feeling, and the other arm, nothing. I went, well, let's move to the other. Oh my gosh, look at that. And I thought, well, and you said, this is going on now. I read up on it. One of the talks a few weeks back, I talked to you about controlling, identifying, understanding your own life force. I'm sorry?
Your audio is kind of going in and out.
I don't have any idea why.
That's weird.
Well, my fan is off. Yeah, the fan is off. These are charged 100%.
Yeah, it's going in and out. I don't know what's causing it.
I don't
well, at least the speaker's good. You know what? We can stop here and continue this.
Okay, because I got a lot to go.
Yeah, because we're having audio issues. Well, I might as well just call it, yeah. Okay, guys, Nancy, we'll be back to continue this. Maybe we can do it on... Hang on, let me think about this.
Next I have a couple...
I have some open days next week. I have open days, right?
Well, let's see what we can do here.
What I got there? I don't have anything there. I don't have anything there. How about Wednesday? We can continue this on Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. So Nancy, you'll be back on Wednesday for the
well,
second half.
Like I said, I'm going to think for next week.
Yeah. Since the mic's going out.
Or you can listen to, okay. Your mic's going out.
Show.
See, these show. Are two on, so there's no reason.
Yeah, it's just really weird. It's just really weird. So Nancy will be back on Wednesday to continue this conversation with us. All right? Okay. Guys, I'm glad you guys came. It's Friday night, and hope you guys have a great weekend, and thank you all for coming, and thank you all on the RSS feed. Always. Love everybody. Love every one of you guys. Remember to share the show. Like I always say, if you like the show, share it with five people. If you hated the show, share it with five of your enemies. We're just trying to get the word out about the show, right? And if you haven't subscribed yet on YouTube, please do so. If you haven't followed on Facebook, please do so. I would really appreciate it. And for you guys on the RSS feed, you follow as well. Follow as well, right? Because you can click on that follow button, and that's like subscribing only for free. How's that grab you? Just click. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. And Sunday I will be back reading and I'll be back reading the werewolf book. And that's, like I said, at the beginning of the show, that's the day I'm going to be able to tell whether or not I'm live on Facebook or what the hell is going on with that. So that'll be my gauging day before I make everybody jump through other hoops. We'll see. And then Monday, my guest is going to be Chester Moore. Chester Moore likes to talk, has really good books out about Sasquatch. But he's also got that debunking bug, and he has some very interesting theories about what people may be seeing as Sasquatch, or seeing and thinking they're Sasquatch. For instance, and I can vouch for this, not that we have Sasquatches in this area, but UC Davis over here used to work, and I don't know if they work with primates anymore, but they used to. And he was talking about Florida and a couple other places where he thinks that sometimes these people are not seeing Sasquatches, but they might be seeing feral apes, feral primates, that either have been let go from these labs or got loose somehow. And they're living out in the woods.
Okay,
so it should be interesting. Yeah, it should be interesting to talk to him and see what he says about that. That'll be Monday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. And yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I'll let you guys go and enjoy your weekend. And Nancy will be back to continue the subject on Wednesday. All right. Catch you guys later. Oh, and Nancy's contact information, since she's having mic problems, check it out. It's all down in the description of the show, so you guys will find it down there. Okay. All right, guys. You have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll see you guys Sunday. And I might just do a pop-up show tomorrow. So be ready around 7-ish tomorrow, because I just might decide to do a pop-up show. All right, guys, have a good one.
Bye.